The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Today's daf is being dedicated in memory of Helfon ben Regina Malka. Ruach Hashem tanihenu began Eden. Amen. Gemara Moed Katan, daf Zayin. Today's daf is being studied in the Ilu Nishmat. Abraham ben Esther, Ruach Hashem tanihenu began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied for Hashem by Yosef ben Sarah. Enna refanalo, betok shar holi amo Yisrael. Amen. We begin today's daf on daf Zayin Amud Rishon, right on the top line. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Misadeh Ha'ilan Kedarko. Umisadeh Ha'lavan Chelo Kedarko. In our Mishnah, we discussed trapping different type of rodents that might be in a person's field on the Chol HaMoed and in the Shemitah. Specifically, we talked about the Ishut, which we explained is a mole, which is a blind animal that digs holes in the ground and ruins the fields, and Akhbarim, which are mice. So according to Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, he said, in a Sde Ilan, where there's great damage, that's a field with trees, so you can trap them kedarko in the normal fashion. However, in a Sde Lavan, which is a wheat field, since it's not excessive damage, it's not a great peseda, you can only trap them shelo kedarka, in not the normal fashion. So the Gemara wants to know now, what is considered normal fashion, what's considered not the normal fashion? Tanu Rabbanan, kesad kedarko. What's considered kedarko? Hofer guma. You dig a hole, v'tole ba mitzuda, and you hang a trap in the hole. Never the mole goes into the hole and gets caught in the trap. Ketzad shelo kedarko. What's the case of shelo kedarko? Noetz shepud. You take a spit, an iron spit, and you thrust it in the ground. Umaket bekordom, and you bang the spit into the ground with a hammer. Umarde adama mitachteh, and you flatten the ground that's underneath it. Now, these shouldn't have a different interpretation exactly what happens over here. Some say when you flatten the ground that's underneath, so now the mole cannot travel through the ground anymore, because there's earth now that becomes flat. He cannot burrow through it, and therefore he dies, which means the earth falls on him or causes a blockage in the holes under the ground, and therefore he cannot travel anymore. Others say that when you bang the ground underneath, it causes the mole to come out of the ground, and you have a trap on top of the ground catching. That's the way the Meidi learns, as opposed to just putting a trap in the hole itself. You cause the mole to surface, and then you trap him with the trap that is on the outside. In any event, that's considered shelo kedarka. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, kesheamru misadeh lavan shelo kedarko, when we said that misadeh lavan in a wheat field, kontributat shelo kedarko, only in the not normal fashion, lo amru ela misadeh lavan esimucha la'ir. That's only on a Sde Lavan that's close to the city. However, aval b'Sde Lavan esimucha l'sadeh ha'ilan. However, b'Sde Lavan that's close to a sadeh of trees, afilu kedarko. You can even trap the ishut in the normal fashion. Why? Shemi yitzu m'Sde Lavan v'yachmivu te'ilanot. Because we're worried it might leave the Sde Lavan and go to the Sde Ilanot. So therefore you can trap it kedarko. So only time is shelo kedarko when it's a Sde Lavan alone. Not next to any other fields, but a Sde Lavan, next to a Sde Ilan, you're able to trap it, kedarko. Tosfot has a sefek over, he doesn't know if this is this a third shita, which means you have Tanakama that says you could do it kedarko everywhere. You have the second shita is Rabbi Yehuda that says Sde Lavan, Shelo kedarko, Sde Ilan, kedarko. Now you have a third shita, Rabbi Ezer ben Yaakov. So Tosfot says, "Lo yadana mahu imu tana shelishi." Is he a third opinion, or shema milta de tana kama mefarish, or is explaining the opinion of tana kama that which tana kama said that in the Sde Lavan you can do it kedarko, that's because it's next to a Sde Ilan. Or shema yeshlomar terbi Yudam mode b'Sde Lavan usubucha l'Sde Ha'ilan, which means, or he's explaining to Yehuda. She's Rabbi Yehuda that was matir, but that said it's shelo kedarko, that's only in the Sde Lavan alone. But a Sde Lavan that's next to a Sde Lavan Ilan, even Rabbi Yehuda would can do with kedarko. And really that's the approach that Tosafot prefers at the end of Tosafot, that really it's explaining the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that shelo kedarko was only when the Sde Lavan is alone. But when the Sde Lavan is next to the Sde Ilan, even Rabbi Yehuda would be can do with kedarko. Comes the Gemara continues, it is permissible to breach, to wall a breached fence around a field on Chol HaMoed. Ketzad maklin, how do you wall the field? Rabbi Yosef Amar behutza vedafna. The word behutza means palm branches, and dafna they explained it to me as laurel. Okay, and what does this mean over here? It seems the laurel is like the pieces of wood that you place as the base of the fence, and then you take the palm branches and you, you know, weave them across. So you're making a temporary fence, really not a permanent fence, obviously, made out of branches and palm leaves. Says, you make a wall of rocks, that's sort of rocks, but you don't cement them. So you just pile up rocks temporarily, not in the permanent fashion, and you wall the field. This is only talking about where you want to protect the garden. But if you want to protect your hatzer, your courtyard, then you can repair the fence in the normal fashion. What's the explanation? Well, in the field, we're not so worried about such a hifsid if the wall is not such a strong wall. However, in your hatzer, the person has his assets there. He has money there. We're concerned if the wall is not going to be a sturdy wall, people can come in and steal his money, and that'll bring a piseda yetera. So therefore, in a field, even a temporary wall, that suffices. However, in a chatzer, where there's a sufficient loss, if he doesn't make a permanent wall, it's permissible to make a permanent wall. As she says, Aval bekotel gina, teleka peseda yetera yaili beinches. That's such a loss that people enter it. Aval bekotel chatzer, boneka darko, deika peseda yetera yaili beganabe, veganve mamunef. The ganavim are going to go in and steal his money. Comes to give an answer, Messiah, we have a lema, Messiah. Let us bring a proof to Rav Chasda. Kotel agohel reshut harabim. You have a wall that is leaning into the reshut harabim. There's a danger that it's going to fall into the reshut harabim and damage somebody. Soter ubone kedarko. You can demolish it and build it in the normal fashion mepenei hasakana because of the danger involved. So the Gemara is originally thinking this is a proof that Rav Chasda. That you see a wall indeed reshut harabim. So you're allowed to actually build it in the normal fashion. The Gemara says no. Hatam kedichtani tamam mepenei hasakana. Over there, we're giving you the reason why you can build it in a normal fashion. It's only because of the danger that it poses. Over here, you're trying to tell me that in a regular chatzer, where there's no danger necessarily, you just want to do it to protect your money. So you have no proof from this case. There's another version. You have a wall that is leaning into the Shut Rabim. Right? You're able to demolish it, rebuild it. Because of the sakana, so the Gemara makes a diyuk. Bepenea sakana in, only because of danger. Shalom bepenea sakana lo, implying that what if there was no danger, you'd not be allowed to establish a permanent wall. Lema tevet tiyuftad Rav Chasda. Let this be a question on Rav Chasda, because you, Rav Chasda, said even in a case where there's no sakana, where it's just an inyan of financial loss, you're allowed to put the wall up permanently. Here it's much only mitnei sakana. Amalecha Rav Chasda, hatam soter uboneh, hacha boneh velo soter. Which, you know, in the case of the sakana, they allow you to demolish it and rebuild it. Whereas in the case of the chatzer, we only allow you to rebuild it, but not to demolish it. Which means if it was demolished already from before Yom Tov, then we'll let you rebuild it on Yom Tov to fix your hatzer. But we're not going to let you demolish it on Chol HaMoed and rebuild. That's only a heter for the case where there is sakana. So the Gemara says, wait. Hatam namel listor velo libne. Well, if you're only worried about sakana, what's the sakana under the Shul Tarabim? That the wall is leaning and it might fall. So how do you get rid of the dam, the sakana? Demolish it. You should be allowed to demolish it, but why should you be allowed to rebuild it? So the Gemara says, "Listor velolim," which is the building already that doesn't pose any second after it anymore. So you should be allowed to demolish it and not rebuild it. Imkein mimna velo soter, because we know the nature of people. If you don't let them rebuild it, they're not going to take it down in the first place. And therefore, it's going to pose a sakana. So the only reason why we let you knock it down and rebuild it, because this is a sakana, if we don't let you rebuild it, the guy's not going to want to knock it down in the first place. It's going to pose a threat for the sakana of the people in the Shut Rabim. However, when it comes to a personal field, then already you can only rebuild it, but you cannot be soter. Amar Rav Asher. Rav Asher says, Matnitin Amidaika. Our Mishnah is also Meduyeket, that in a field, you can only build a temporary wall. In a field. Why? Diktani, it says in the Mishnah, Ubashivi'id Boneh Kedarko. Now it says in the Shemitah you're allowed to build a fence in the normal fashion, which means in Chol HaMoed you have to do it Shelok Kedarko. But on Shavuot, in the Shemitah, you can build the wall in the normal fashion. So the Gemara says, Deecha, where's this wall? Idem ad dechatzer, if you tell me you're building a wall in a courtyard, Tzirich HaLememar, you have to tell me that you're allowed to build a wall in a courtyard in Shemitah? Why shouldn't I think you're allowed to build a wall in a courtyard? Meaning, there's no issur of building during the Shemitah year. Ela lav degina. Ela must be talking about the Mishnah, it's talking about, when it's talking about building a fence, it's talking about a garden. And what's the Hiddush in Shemitah? And even though when you build a fence around your garden during the Shemitah, it looks like you might be protecting the perot, and we know in Shemitah you have to leave the perot to be hefker. So I might think that building a fence in Shemitah and should be asur. Shema mina, proof that what? That you see, first of all, in Shemitah it's permissible. We don't make that gezerah. But second of all, you see, more importantly, the proof. A Mishnah, when it talks about building a fence, it must have been talking about building a fence around a field. And what did it say? You can only build it shelo kedarka. When it came to Chol HaMoed, it says, you build the fence shelo kedarka. So what do you see? That in a gina, on Chol HaMoed, you can only do it shelo kedarka. Well, like the Rav Hasdan said, behutza bedafna. However, in the Hatzer itself, one would be allowed to even build it permanently. And if it's a sakana, you can even demolish it and rebuild it. If you look at the Tosafot, Amar Rav Hashem Anitin Namidaika Pasak Betosfot. The Rav Rebbeinu Peretz, the Ilcheta, Hachi, the Kotel Chatzer, when it comes to the Kotel of a Chatzer, Muta Libnoto. Upiresh, the Ainu Davka, when it comes to Mukla Shut Rabim Shesh Lachosh to Ganabim. Of course, only in a place where you're concerned that there might be thieves. Aval Ben Chatzer, La Chatzer, between the Hatzerot, Umishum Bene Hatzer, Asul Bnoto Kedarko, which means if you're just worried that you don't want trespassers between one courtyard to another courtyard, you cannot build the wall permanently. You can only build the wall permanently in the Hatzer if it's protecting you from the Reshut Tanavim and the Gadnavim. Comes the next Mishnah and says, Rabbi Meir says, Ro'in et anigaim la'kel aval lo lachmir. Rabbi Meir says, on Chol HaMoed, it is permissible for a kohen to look at somebody that has nigaim. Nigaim means he has sarat, he has leprosy. La'kel, you're able to look at him to give a lenient ruling. However, aval lo lachmir. But you cannot look at the sarat to give a mahmir, to give a stringent ruling. Rashi, ro'im et hanigaim la'kel, kolomar ro'eh ha'kohen nega sarat b'moed ha'taher. If the kohen is going to give him a tahor ruling, you can look at it. Velo lachmir, she'im ro'eh ha'kohen shu tameh, if the kohen looks at the tzarat and renders it that it's tameh, eno omer klum. He doesn't say anything. She'im metameh o, because if you're going to tell him on Chol HaMoed that he's tameh, nimsa metzaro b'moed. You're going to cause the guy tzar, therefore, he can. So comes out according to the media, you do see another hadush that the kohen is allowed to look at a tzara'at and not render a ruling. Then he can only, you look at it, you say, if it's tahor, you can tell him it's tahor. If it's tameh, keep quiet, don't say anything. Hakamim omrim lo lakir velo lachmir. Hakamim say, don't look at it at all. Not to be lenient and not to be mahmir. What's the logic? Because Hakamim are going to say, because once you look at it, you got to give a psak. You can't keep quiet. So therefore, better not to look at it at all. That's the machlok din Rabbi Meir and Hachamim. Tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir says, Ro'in et negaim la'kel, aval lo lachmir. Rabbi Yoseh Omer, lo la'kel velo lachmir. So we see that Tanakama of the Mishnah, the Hachamim of the Mishnah is actually Rabbi Yoseh. That says you cannot look at negaim, not la'kel, not lachmir. She'im ata nezakek lo la'kel, nezakek lo af lachmir. Because once already, you're going to, you have to give a lenient ruling, you're also going to be obligated to give a stringent ruling. Which means once already you're looking, you have to give a psak. So that's the machloket over here. That she says, Kilomar, Me'ahar shiro'eu ha-kohen omer benu tameh benu tahor. Once the kohen looks at it, he has to tell him if it is tahor or not. Therefore, we don't want him to look at it at all. Amar B. So the B says, now we have to give the halakha. Who do we go like? Do we go like Rabbi Meir, or do we go like Rabbi Yosef? It says, Nir'in debre Rabbi Meir. It seems that Rabbi Meir is correct. That what? That you give a psak on the Nega'im la'kel b'musgar, on a misorah that is musgar. V'devre Rabbi Yosef, and we're going to follow Rabbi Yosef, not to look at it at all, when b'muchlat. Now what's a musgar and what's a muchlat? So let's just review the laws of nega tzara'at. Of course, the person has a tzara'at on his, let's say, his hand. The kohen goes and looks at him, and let's say he doesn't want to yet give a ruling that he's a confirmed Mitzorah. So he's a muskar, which means he has the simanim yet, but we don't know yet if it is going to spread. So therefore, he has tumah. He's called a mitzorah muskar. 7 days later, the kohen goes again and looks at it. If he sees that still nothing changed, he's considered a muskar sheni. They say a second process of 7 days. If after the second 7 days he sees that it starts to spread, then he becomes a muhdat. Then he becomes a confirmed mitzorah. Now, one of the things about a confirmed mitzorah, you should know that already he has to go outside of the mahaneh. And he has to go outside of the camp of the city. So now the Gemara wants to say like this. Rabbi wants to say, it seems that we're going to go like Rabbi Meir b'musgar, that she shiroin. Which means, what type of mitzorah are we going to say that you can go look at if he's a musgar? And we'll see what type of musgar. Is it a rishon or is it a sheni? And we'll see the logic as well. But just get the concept. According to the B, we're going to posek like Rabbi Meir in a mitzorah musgar, meaning the quick look at him, la'akir v'lo la'chmir. And we're going to take it to be Yosef by a mitzorah muhlat, don't look at him at all. Ben la'akir, ben la'chmir. So the Gemara analyzes now. Amarava betahor kud'ama lo peligi de'lo hazudeh. Which means, on somebody that never was examined yet by a kohen, he's tahor, don't get involved. Don't look at it, the kohen should not see him at all on Chol HaMoed. Don't start the process b'chla. Be'ezger Rishon, if he's a musgar Rishon, which means already the kohen saw him and put him in a hezger for 7 days. Okay? Kol ha'am lo pedige dehazire. Everybody will agree, look at him. What's the logic? Because he doesn't lose. Because if you make him tahor, he's free. If you tell him you're still hezger, nothing changes. Because you have hezger sheni. So therefore there's no, you didn't ruin his Chol HaMoed, because either he's status quo or you make him better. So there's no loss on hezger rishon. Okay, look at Rashi. Hezger rishon she'im mitaher le misameyach le. Every time he's tahor, he's happy. He lo mitaher le, lo mitameh le yoter, midaikara. He doesn't become more tameh than originally was. He just becomes a hezger, a musgar, a second time. So everybody's going to agree on the answer of you. On a tahor, don't look at him at all. On his hezger rishon, everybody says, look at him, give the ruling. Ben la'akel, ben la'mi, because it's not going to ruin the Chol HaMoed. So what's the mahloket over here? Ki pelige, the mahloket is going to be behezger sheni. Which means, already he was a muskar, already for a second time already. Right? Which means they looked at him, they made him his hezger rishon, he went back to Kohen, made him his hezger sheni, now to come back. Now what's the nafkamina? Either he becomes tahor, or he becomes a muhlat. If he becomes a muhlat, already you're changing his status. So the Gemara says, Mor sabar bekohen talya milta. Which means, Mor sabar, one rabbi holds, and that's the bimir. It's up to the kohen. And therefore, if the kohen says tahor, it's tahor. If he doesn't say anything, nothing happens. And therefore, I tahor amar le tahor. If he's tahor, he'll tell him tahor. V'itameh shatik. And if he's not tahor, he'll keep quiet. And therefore, the bimir holds, even by hezker sheni, there's no problem to make a ruling on Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed. Because, check him out, examine him. Why? What are you worried about? The bimir holds, you don't have to make a ruling. Which means, it depends on his words. So therefore, if it's tahor, he made his holiday, which means yatam tahor, go home, and he's happy. If he's tameh, I won't make him a muhlat. I'll just keep quiet. And the bimir holds, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to hold back the psak, because it all depends on the kohen's ruling, on his dibur. Okay, look at Rashi. Sabar mor, meaning mor in the second line. Rabbi Meir damaru ela kel tahir avalo letame. Sabar bekohen talya rahmana. Di'i metame leavitame. Di'i lo ba'e metame lelo avitame. Ulach yahazir lakel. That's why you could look at him lakel. Aval lo lachmid yahazir lavu tame. Lo lema leklum. He won't tell him anything. Velo havi. Tame, umor sabar. However, what does the Biyoseh hold? Le taharo o le tameo ketiv. The pasuk says when the kohen looks at him, he's looking at him for one of two options: either to purify him or metameh him. So you can't start now abstaining from a psak. Rashi says sabar le taharo tameo ketiv. Dichi hazu le kohen de tameh lo matzi le mishtak. He cannot keep quiet. And therefore, in the case of a hezger sheni, Now you're ruining him. But by telling him he's tameh, now you're causing him to be a muhlat. The muhlat now has to go chutz la mahaneh. So therefore, that is the mahloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yosef. Again, in a tahor, everybody says, don't examine him bichlal. In his gir rishon, everybody holds, examine him, because there's nothing to lose. What's the mahloket over him? His gir sheni. Rabbi Meir says, examine him. If he's tahor, you tell him he's tahor. If he's not tahor, you keep quiet. And the Kohen has the option to do that. Rabbi Meir says, no, le taro, le tameo. In his gir sheni, he has to make a ruling. Therefore, don't look at it. Because if it's tameh, you're going to have to open your mouth and you're going to ruin his holiday. Yeah, wait, exactly. You wait till after the mu'ed. Amar mor, amar rabbi. We go back. Rabbi just taught us what? We're repeating a statement that we just made in the name of Rabbi Nir'in, devrei Rabbi Yosef b'muhlat. We're going to follow Rabbi Yosef's opinion by a muhlat, which means what? On a muhlat, do not look at him at all. V'devrei Rabbi Meir b'muzgar. However, we're going to take Rabbi Meir in a muzgar sheni, that what? Look at him. And what's the pshat? Look at him. If he's tahor, say he's tahor. If he's not tahor, just keep quiet. But when it comes to a muhlat, we're going to take Rabbi Yosef's opinion, do not say anything. So the Gemara asks, what are you talking about? We have Rabbi saying the exact opposite. What does it mean? That we're going to take Rabbi Meir on a muhlat. That on a muhlat, we're going to say what? You can make a ruling on Hala Mu'ed, and a Musgar, we're going to take Rabbi Yosef, don't look at it at all. So now we have a Mahloket on what's the Psak. Let's get the Mahloket good, and let's see what it's based on. Again, one opinion says that Rabbi held, we follow Rabbi Meir by a Musgar, and Rabbi Yosef by a Muhlat. And the second version says, no, we follow Rabbi Yosef by a Musgar and Rabbi Meir by a Muhlat, which is the total opposite. So Gemara says, how do you square that off? Gemara says, Tana'ehi, Adiba, the Rabbi. It's a Mahloket Tana'ehi, what the Rabbi said. Now, what is the basis of the Mahloket? Why would one rabbi say, in the name of Rabbi, that when it comes to a Muhlat, we go like Rabbi Yosef? And why would one rabbi say in the name of Rabbi that when it comes to Mukhlat we go like Rabbi Meir? What's the logic? So the Gemara says, Mor sabar safta de alma adifle, umor sabar safta de ishto adifale. The Mahloket is based on who does a person enjoy company with more? Does a person, safta is company, does a person enjoy company more with his wife as opposed to being with people? Or does he enjoy the company of being with people more than his wife? This is a mahloket. Now, let's analyze it ourselves. If you hold, let's get the dinim first, according to Shitat Rashi. A muhlat. A muhlat is outside the mahaneh. Right? He has to, after already the Kohen says twice, they look at him after his hizkir sheni, he's confirmed, he goes outside the mahaneh. However, even when he's outside the mahaneh, he's allowed to be with his wife. Now, once you look at the muhlat, right, and you tell him tahor, well, great news. Now he can come back. Now he can come back to the mahaneh. Okay, so he can be with people, but he starts a 7-day tahara process, and during the 7-day tahara process, he's not allowed to be with his wife. So therefore, there's a benefit of becoming tahor from muhlat in the sense that you can go back to the people. You can be with the company of people, but you lose the company of your wife. So that's really what the Mahloket is based on. If you hold that what? That a person would rather be in the company of people more than the company of his wife, then when it comes to a Mukhlat, we'll hold like Rabbi Meir. Make a ruling. Which means, because they look at the Mukhlat, and if the Quran tells him, you're Tahor, he's thrilled. Tahor, I gotta get back with the people. I mean, you can't be with your wife. I'm happy to be with the people. The other Shita says, no. A person would rather be with his wife. And therefore, don't make a ruling on a Mukhlat. Because if you're going to tell the Mukhlat that he's Tahor, he can go back to the Sibur, he can go back to his people, but what? He can't be with his wife. So therefore, we don't want to ruin his Hala Mu'ed. So therefore, the Mahloket on what we hold by a Mukhlat is really dependent on what we think people would prefer. Safta de Alma, the company of the people, or the company of his wife. Let's read that inside in Nashi. Mor Sabar, Safta de Ishto Adif Teulat, he hazide be Mu'ed, beskir sheni. Therefore, you can look at him in the case of Hizkir Sheni. In the case of Hizkir Sheni. Now, what's more of Hizkir Sheni? Hizkir Sheni, what are you going to make him? You're going to make him Mukhlat? Well, Mukhlat, what does it do with him? He can't be with people. So what? He'll go outside the Mahane, but he could still be with his wife. Well, geez, if you hold, let's go to the other side now. If you hold that the person would rather be with his wife, so there's no problem looking at his Hesker Sheni. Because his Hesker Sheni makes him a Mukhlat. If he does a Tahor, he's just nothing, it's over. If he does a Tameh, what does he got to do? He's got to leave the Mahane. Okay, so what? But he still could be with his wife, so therefore you didn't ruin anything to him. So I said, the mitaro misamiho. If you mitahir the guy from his kirishini, he's happy. Va'afilu mitamele, ummahlitle, ummishadele, hutzlegimel mahanot. You send him out of the three mahanot. Velete safta de inche de alma, and he doesn't have the company of people. Afilu achi lete sahara. He doesn't have any anguish. Why? Da'itle safta de ishto. He still has the company of his wife. Umudar hu bishto de tiahit emma bimehaluto. Vedevrer bi yoseh bimuchlat. However, we'll take the bi yoseh by a mukhlat. Why? Because if you're going to mitahir him through mukhlat, he loses his wife. Because now in the 7-day tara process, he can't be with his wife. And therefore, don't make a ruling. The afilu mitahir le, afalgav de shari le mahane Yisrael, even though you let him come back, it le sa'ara de let le safha de ishto. He doesn't have the safta, the company of his wife. Ta'asuru, the kivan mitahir le mahaluto, mepe'e le mitne, sheva yemes sipure. He has to count 7 clean days. Ubimes sipuro, asub mitashmish amita. He's asub to be with his wife during the 7 days. Tichtivi yashav mechutz le aholo, shivati, what is chutz le aholo? Out of his tent. That means from his wife. Va'alozo ishto dechtiv shu lachem la'aholechem. So let's review again. According to the opinion that says, safta de ishto, so therefore, he'd rather be with his wife. So if that's the pshat, so we'll say like this. Halakha is going to follow Rabbi Meir in what when it comes to his kirshini. Make a ruling. What are you going to rule? You rule him tahor? He's thrilled. You rule him tameh? You didn't hurt him. He can still be with his wife. He has to go outside the mahane, but so what? He doesn't care. As long as he can be with his wife. However, when it comes to a muhlat, we're going to like Rabbi Yoseh. Don't say anything. Because if you're going to say that he's tahor, then he loses his wife. Because although he can come back to the Mahane, but now he's not allowed to be with his wife during the 7 days of the Sefira. So therefore, that's the Shita that says, we'll follow Rabbi Meir Behesger, and we'll follow Rabbi Yoseh Behlet. Now let's go the other way. Next Rashi. And the other opinion says, no, a person would rather be with the people more than his wife. Which means, this opinion will say, we go like Rabbi Meir Behmuchlat. Now what do you gain by ruling a mukhlat? Well, if you tell him he's tameh, still, you didn't ruin anything, status didn't change. If you tell him he's tahor, he's thrilled. Even though he can't be with his wife, but now you're letting him go back with the people, because he can go back to the mahaneh. V'devir bi yoseh b'muskar. And what's pshat bi yoseh b'muskar? If you tell a guy who's a muskar that he's tahor, oh, that's good, he's happy. But if you tell the guy who's a muskar that he's tameh, he's not going to be happy. Because even though he can still be with his wife, however, he loses the people. He's got to go outside the Mahaneh. So therefore, this is Shita saying he'd rather be with people. So it's a Sabar, Safta Da'a Ma'adifle. Ulachi Hazi Bimei Haluto. You'll look at him during the Haluto. Why? Di'i Mitameh, Lo Mitameh Yoteh Mitei Kara. Because on the Haluto side, there's no downside. Because if he's still Tameh, you didn't make him any worse off than he was. Di'i Mitaharo. And if you're going to say he's Tahor, Misameho. Why? The Now because you go back to the Mahane. Afagav the Asub the Shmish Amita. Even though he's Asub the Shmish Amita, so what? Safata the Ma'adifle. V'devir Yoseh b'muskar. But we're going to follow the Yoseh b'muskar. De lo hazile. That what? We're not going to look at him at all. Dilma mitameh lechutz legimel machanot. Because if he says tameh, he's got to go outside the three machanot. Velete safta da'alma umitza'ele. Right? It's going to cause tza'ar to him because he's going to have to go out of the camp. So that's the two versions of Rabbi based on what a person prefers. Comes Gemara continues. The memra, the mukhlat, mutar, betashmish, amita. Now it's a Gestapo question. You tell me mukhlat, when he's outside the money, he's allowed to be with his wife. Is that so? Gemara says, "In, yes, indeed, it is so." What do you mean? Ve'atanya, we learned, "Biyashav mechutz le'aholo shivat yamim," which means it says he will sit outside his tent for 7 days. Shiyeh asur b'tashmi shamita. And what do we learn from there? Chutz le'aholo, that he's forbidden to be with his wife. Ve'en aholo ela ishto. When it says he has to leave his tent, the tent is referring to his wife. Shneimar lech emor lahem shuvu lachem laholechem. Which means, after Matan Torah, Borei Olam told Moshe Rabbeinu, go tell the Jewish people they can go back to their tents. Because for 3 days before Matan Torah, they were forbidden to be with their wives. So what does it mean, Shuvu Lachem La'olechem? Go back to your tents, meaning go back to be with your wives. So you see, when the Torah says by the Mitzorah, that for 7 days, he has to be Mechutz La'aholo, means that he's not allowed to be with his wife. So the Biuda Omer, the Biuda finishes the proof and says, Shiva'at Yamim Yisperu Lo, and he counts 7 days, Yemeh Sefiro Velo Yemeh Halu. She's only during the 7 days of counting he's asur to be with his wife. But the time of halut, the confirmation, where he's outside the mahal, he's permissible. So therefore, in the Quran, he's allowed to be with his wife during the yemeh halita. Again, the Torah says, when do you have to be away from your tent? During the 7 days of counting. When does the 7 day of counting come? After the Quran tells the halut that now you are tahor, good, he comes back to the mahane, but he's got to count 7 days, and then he brings his korban in the process. During those 7 days of the sefirat, tashmish zasud, bime sefuro, velo bime haluto. So therefore, indeed, it is permissible to have tashmish mita during the time of the yeme haluta.
Rabbi
continues, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, zayin yeme sefiro. He says like this: if you tell me that you have to be asur with tashmish during the 7 days of sefirat, kalba omer lime haluto. Or the more so during the times of his haluta. So which means now we have a Tana that holds in Ikanami. He's really asur. Which means that is asur bimes sefira, and bimes sefira already, he's on the purity. And he's mitameh, he's asur mitameh, he's kalva omer when he is actually a haluta. Obviously it's not going like Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda. It's going like the other opinion. We have a machloket haneim over here. So Gemara says, ואמר רבי חיה, רבי חיה, סדנתי לפני רבי. He says, I went in front of Rabbi to learn. I told him, למדתנו רבנו, Rabbi, you taught us, רבי חיה telling Rabbi, Rabbi, you taught us, יותם לא היה לו לעוזיהו, אלא בימי חלותו. You taught us, עוזיהו was the father of יותם. עוזיהו was a מצורה for a period of time. And you taught us that עוזיהו had יותם when he was a מצורה מוחלט. Meaning he had תשמיץ with his wife, when he was a mitzorah muhlat, and from that conception was born Yotam. Amar lo af ani kach amarti. Yes, I did say that. So it comes out you have a machlok between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi says in Echanam you can have tashmish during the time of Haluta. He said, Oziyah had Yotam. Where is Rabbi Yosef? Rabbi Yehuda says no. So the Gemara says, Bemaika mepalge. What is the source of this machloket? Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda sabar gali rahmana bime sifuro vekotshekim bime haluto. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says that the Torah says by yime sifuro the tashmish is asur. So it's set up by yime sifuro, and we can deduce a kalva chomer on our own. Bime sifuro kalva chomer bime haluto. Umor sabar, but Rabbi Yehuda holds maide gale gale umaide lo gale lo gale. Which means what it says, it says. What it doesn't say, it doesn't say. Torah says yime sifuro, it's yime sifuro. Don't learn a kalva chomer to yemen haluto. So it comes out the back. Look at it like this: do you make the kalva chomer or don't you make the kalva chomer? The first rabbi Rabbi Yosef that says it says it by halut yemen sefiro that the shmish is asur. I'll make a kalva chomer bime haluto. Rabbi Yosef says no. May the galle. The Torah told you what's isur. It's only isur bime sefiro, but it's not going to be asur bime haluto. So Tosfot says lame en rabbi doresh kalva chomer. Just make a kalva chomer. Ha, Adam doresh kalva chomer me'atzmo. Which means you're allowed to doresh kalva chomer on your own. So why didn't he just say? So Torah says yemei sefirot tashmish zasur koshe ken yemei haluto. It says v'shemei yesh shum pircha, because could be there is a refutation to this kavah homer. Tosfot doesn't tell us what it is, but could be the kavah homer is not 100%. Or shemei mitzura chedushu, or maybe the whole concept of mitzura is a chedush. So you cannot start making kavah homers on a chedush. The whole thing is a chedush that you tell me it's asur b'tashmish and he has to count 7 days. So on a thing that's a chedush, you cannot start saying, well, if this is the case, kal v'chomer somewhere else. Zayin yamin mashma mi'ut lapukei yemei haluto, which means could be the way he's learning when it says zayin yamin, he learned it as a mi'ut, The pasuk saying davka in the zayin yamim, it's going to be asuta shmish la'apuke at the time of the halita. So therefore, you cannot make a kavachomer because we have a pasuk that's really being mema'et you from making the kavachomer. It's only davka the 7 days. So it comes out we have a great machlokut into Tanaim. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says tashmish Rabbi Yehuda is asur the whole time from yemei halita to the whole 7 days. Where Rabbi Yehuda says no, only bimei sifira. It says asur like the Torah says, but bimei halita it's going to be mutar. Comes the Gemara and says the memra the bechuen tal yamilta. Do you mean to tell me that the ruling is depending on the Kohen? Which means maybe it's an automatic. Which is, who told you that it's everybody agrees here that it's dependent on the Kohen. Which is even Rabbi Meir, he holds it's dependent on the Kohen. He just tells you that the Kohen can keep quiet. But he agrees that you have to make a ruling from the Kohen. Rabbi Yosef for sure. He says that Vadai, he's got to, when he sees him, he has to tell him he's Tahor or Tameh. But everybody agrees that the Tum'ah of the fellow is really dependent on the Kohen's ruling. So the Gemara says, yes, Batanya, as we learned, it says, Ubiyom Harot Bo. It says, on the day that the Kohen will see the Salat. Yom She'ataro Ebo, Yesh Yom She'ataro Ebo, Yesh Yom She'ataro Ebo. Which means, there's certain days that the Kohen looks at Salat, and there's other days that he doesn't look. Again, the Ubiyom. We're learning from the Ubiyom that what? The Pasuk could have just said Biyom. Ubiyom comes and tells me some days the Kohen looks and some days he doesn't. When is that? Mikan Amru. Hatan. Let's say Hatan. He just got married. He wants to enjoy the Sheva Berachot. He wants to enjoy 7 days. If the Kohen's going to look at his Sarat right after he got married, you ruin his whole week. So it says Hatan Shinulat Bo Nega. Notnim lo zayin yemei amishte lo ulbeto ulchisuto, which means whether the sarat is on him, whether the sarat is on his house, or whether the sarat is on his clothes. So the different types of sarat, we give him a break. So what do you see over here that is really dependent on the Kohen? If you told me it's an automatic, what do I care? He's got it on his body, he's tameh. From the fact that you see that you could delay it, that means, what do you mean delay? It means the Kohen will not make a ruling. So what does that show you? That it's really dependent on the Kohen's psak. You understand? The Gemara gives another example. Vechen beregel, on the holiday. Person wants to enjoy the 7 days of the holiday. Notnim lo shiv'at yemei haregel. Give him the 7 days of the holiday, then make the ruling. Devre Rabbi Yehuda. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Omer, enu tzarich. Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't need that terasha. Where you know it from? Hare Omer, v'siva kohen ufinu et the bayit. Which means like this. This is my tum'at negat sarat of the bayit. What does it say? The Kohen comes to the house. He sees a tzaraat on the walls. What does he tell the fellow? Take out all the kinim from the house. Before he makes the ruling, he doesn't want to ruin all his kinim. They're going to become tameh. But if he says it's tameh, now everything in the house becomes tameh. So before he makes the ruling, doesn't mechesed. You know what? Ufidnu tabayit. Clean out everything from the house before he makes the ruling. But what do you see? That tum'at bayit, at least, is dependent on what? The Kohen's ruling. Otherwise, what do you think? How could you make a psak? It's an automatic. But what? The Rebbe is going to learn like this. Once already I see my tum'at bayit, that I can delay the psak to save the guy's money. So he says, imamtinino lidvar reshut kol sheken lidvar mitzvah. Or the more so I could delay for Dvar Mitzvah, meaning if he's a Hatan, or it's a Regen. Which means, in this case over here, we're telling the Kohen, you know what? Ufinu et abayit. The Kohen says, you know what? Empty your house first. Now, he's waiting to give a Psach, but we're going to delay the Psach for a monetary situation. It's not a Mitzvah. So the B says, if for monetary concern, you could delay the Psach, called Sheken for Mitzvah, you could delay the Psach. Meaning, if he's a Hatan, you want him to have some Hatan Mikallah 7 days, or it's the Regel. So bottom line, both rabbis learning the same thing, that for a mitzvah you can be Dohe, the Psak. Right. But it's just learning from different Pesukim. One rabbi learns it from the verse Ubiyom, which means certain days he gives a Psak, certain days he doesn't. Which days doesn't he? When it's a Hatan or it's a Regel. The other rabbi, the B, says, no. I learned it from Ufinu with Abayit. By Tum'at HaBayit, when it says you empty the house out, if you can delay the psak for a reshut, because you can delay it for a mitzvah. So the Gemara is, my benayu. What's the nafka mina? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, mashma'ut dorshim mika benayu. It's just Do you make the drasha on this pasuk, or do you make the drasha on the other pasuk? No nafkamina. Just one rabbi said it was more masra from the ubiyom, and another rabbi said it's more masra from the ufidu tabai. It's mashmaut darshim, which is a more sound drasha. The rabba amar devar harishut ika benayu. Oh, tell you, tremendous nafkamina. A devar harishut, which means according to the first pshat. Only for Dvar Mitzvah you'll delay. Because it says Ubiyom. Certain days you look at the Tzara'at, certain days you don't. Right? And now that was what Nega Tzara'at of an Adam. Okay, that was by Adam. So by Nega Tzara'at on the person, I only see that you'll delay it for Dvar Mitzvah. Now, the Torah does say Ufinu to buy it, but that's why Nega Tzara'at of a buy it. I don't learn buy it to Adam. So therefore, that opinion is say by Adam, you do not delay it only for Tzorech Mitzvah. Whereas according to the second opinion, once it said it by Tzara'at Abayit that you delayed even for the shoot. So therefore I see what? That you could delay the Tzara'at even for a reshut, and certainly for a regal, which is a mitzvah. So reshut, look at that she. Devara reshut, ikabenayu. Rabbi Yehuda demapik mebiyom harot bo. Right? According to Rabbi Yehuda, that learns it from the first pasuk, ubiyom. Correct. When it comes to tuma begufe, you do not delay for voluntary items. And just like what tuma de beto, we said you can delay it for monetary situation, kol sheken for regel and mitzvah, so tuma tumat aguf. You'll be even delay the psak for a personal davar reshut. So that would be the nafka mina. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen. Amen. Amen.